You're listening to Bariatric Life Podcast, a podcast about weight loss surgery. Chris and I are not doctors, nor have we ever played one on TV. We are sharing our personal views and opinions only. Please always follow your doctor's advice. Follow us on Instagram at Bariatric Life Podcast and at Amanda's VSG. Thanks for listening, and now on to the show.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
We are so excited to announce a new partnership with Titan Nutrition. They have proteins, vitamins, pre-workouts, and superfoods. Their proteins come in flavors like peanut butter fudge and snickerdoodle.
Snickerdoodle's my favorite.
And they have 24 grams of protein.
Go to titannutrition.net and use code BARIATRICLIFE for 10% off your order and get free shipping. Again, that is titannutrition.net. And discount code Bariatric Life, all one word.
Hello and welcome to Bariatric Life Podcast. This is Amanda.
And this is Chris.
And today we are talking to Ben. Hi, Ben.
Hello, how are you?
Great. If we could start off giving us your Instagram handle.
So my Instagram handle, my public, or I call it my surgery page, is BariatricVTDS. So bariatric, obviously bariatric, VT is my initials, and then DS is for the surgery I had.
The duodenum switch?
Yeah, the duodenal, duodenal, however you pronounce it, I still don't know.
I was just taking a stab in the dark.
Yeah, I've heard it duodenal, and then I've also heard it duodenal, so, and then there's like the medical term, so I just go by DS or whatever they want to call it.
When did you have it?
June 8th, almost 2 years ago, so 2021.
Oh, wow.
And what was your highest weight?
So my highest weight was, I want to say, like 445. And that was about 3 weeks before surgery. And then the day of surgery, not to jump the gun, but the day of surgery, I was 431.5. So I guess, you know, between the liquids and just cutting a lot out, like the week of surgery, yep, there was a big drop.
And where are you now?
I am proud to say I am approximately 189. What? I've been maintaining between 184 and 190 for about 6 months now.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's awesome.
Yes, never in my life do I remember being this weight. I've joked with like my friends, family, and I've said like I have to find my pediatrician who's since retired and find my charts from childhood, because I don't remember a time in my life in junior high school of ever being this weight. So it's a first for me in my mind.
That's really impressive.
Thank you.
Why did you choose that particular surgery?
So, you know, I'll be honest, I didn't choose it. Well, obviously I made the choice, but it wasn't on the front of my mind. My primary physician had recommended Dr. Mitchell Roslin from Lenox Hill Hospital, and he was very comforting and very like open when I met him. He asked what I wanted from him essentially as the surgeon, and very amateur research. I was like, yeah, the sleeve, you know, it's the most common. I've heard some things about the bypass being weeded out, so to speak, because of complications. So he kind of saw my body and my weight, and we had some discussions of my lifestyle, and he recommended the duodenal switch or the DS. And my number one thought was risk versus reward and risk of, you know, just double the work getting done essentially with doing the sleeve plus the intestinal routing, rerouting. Mm-hmm. And the way he put it was, if I had to go under a second time to do the intestinal part, the duodenal switch part, I'd be at more risk, right? Just going in for a second procedure or second surgery. So he said, consider it like a one-stop shop, do it all at once, and you'll have even more results possibly. So, and I'm very lucky that he recommended it.
It sounds like that was a good choice for you.
Yeah.
Big time, big time. I mean, not to take anything away from other bariatric surgeries, but obviously I think we're all a little biased towards the one we've had or what we've had success with. So I try to be just as much of an ambassador for the DS as much as possible, because I don't think it's as popular, you know, whether it be on social media or in person. And it's just been life changing for me.
The one-stop shop surgery I found through my own personal experience, and I know Amanda's kind of gone through the same thing. It's so much better because your recovery time is a little bit longer, but you don't have to go under again. Everything's already done. You can just heal and get back on, you know, back into the swing of your normal life.
Absolutely. And the way I looked at it at the point I was at that extremely high, morbidly obese, you know, weight, and I never like to shy away from using the word morbidly obese. I don't think it's used enough. And for me, I pushed it in my head because it is scary to hear, but you need to accept it when you're at that weight. And the way I looked at it, like, I wasn't going to the surgeon half-cocked. I was all in. You kind of have to be when you're doing this. And I said, you know what, if he's recommending it, he's performed it tons of times. I said, who am I to, you know, definitely question and do your homework to a degree, but I wasn't going to be on the fence. I went to him with my life in his hands, essentially. So he really didn't have to sell me on it past saying just the parameters of it.
Did you have any complications?
Thank God, nothing thus far. I mean, any complications, very minimally. Like the first week recovering, I suffered from GERD or acid reflux. And again, just by tweaking and monitoring little dietary things or timing of liquids, I got rid of it and it hasn't been an issue. A few things with digestion. As far as like staying away from certain things, which is pretty just common, obviously, with the post-op, but no real complications. So thankful for it.
Did you have any health conditions prior to your surgery?
I did not. Always borderline diabetic or early diabetic. Blood pressure was always teetering on like a little high, but never alarming. And I always felt the need when a physician would say, oh, do you have any health conditions that you know of? I always felt obligated to say no, except for being morbidly obese, because I didn't want to make it seem like I wasn't what I was. Severely overweight. I was morbidly obese, you know?
Right. Yeah, let them know that you're aware of your...
Right. I felt the need to at least put it out there. Like, I'm not going to ignore the elephant in the room, no pun intended.
Right.
That's how, I mean.
What was your biggest hurdle after having surgery between then and now?
I mean, I think would just be for, truthfully, digestion. Which I mean, if you're like around me enough, friends, family, my wife, I mean, I say it constantly. I really don't even eat so much now for weight loss or even maintaining. I eat just for a healthy digestion. So, you know, dabbling into certain foods or testing the waters, as I always put it, would be, you know, you have to see what works for you and what doesn't. But I learned early on, like bread or any starch really would not agree with me. Now, I've spoken to some bariatric patients who, as long as the portion is small, they could still handle that little scoop of pasta or a piece of bread. For me, it just kills my digestion in the sense of this is an open thing. I think anyone who has a bariatric surgery could talk about bowel movements, obviously.
Yeah.
So for me, it just would delay them or just not make it a healthy bowel movement. So I had to transition to just staying away entirely from bread, like not even a few bites, because it would just mess me up the following day.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah, but you know what? Like I've put it like this. It's if that's my biggest price to pay and that's how I have to live, I mean, I'll take it every day of the week. If when you hear other stories of how people have to live post-op.
Yeah.
So
do you ever have any issues with like greasy foods or really spicy foods?
Spicy, no. I'm always just cautious because I never want to push the envelope too much and see what happens, but I enjoy flavor and spice. Greasy and oily, if it's like over oily, like something deep fried and it's more than like a bite or two, like I could have a buffalo wing, like one or two of them. Anything more than that, you're going to see the oil and like, I think, what do we call it? Dumping syndrome, you know? But again, I think every body literally is just different because I've got, not to say I've figured it out because it changes so much, but like I try to offset. If I eat like something greasy, I try to have something that in my mind like absorbs it through digestion to kind of just make a healthy bowel movement. Again, for me, it just comes down to digestion through and through.
So I was doing a little scrolling on your Instagram this morning and I see that you are big with working out. Tell me about your workout routine.
I'm trying to be, I think, I mean, in the very amateur sense and like the surgeon kind of alluded to it, I was always active pre-surgery, which kind of helped like keep me somewhat sustained, like healthy at that weight and not immobile. Because I always knew I had to be like, if I wanted any fighting chance, so I was always walking, moderate exercise, weightlifting. But now, like, I've just been – it's been such a major component to getting the success I've had in under 2 years. Just – I think – I just like to move, you know. I don't even have a set routine. My thing right now, like, I started it for the new year, is just going every day of the week. Like, today was day 71. Just to keep moving. So that's my big, like, thing. Just close your rings on the Apple Watch and just keep moving, whether it be – 30-minute walk, more intense, some days just wait. As long as you're just moving, that's my concept. Because some days you're not going to want to lift the weight. Some days you're not going to want to do the cardio. But if you could just move, like I think we could all find that 30, 40 minutes to do somewhat of activity. And it just keeps the heart going, right? The most important muscle.
Mm-hmm. What has been your favorite non-scale victory?
What do you mean? Like non-scale? Oh, like not like physically not on the scale. So this is a crazy one, and I've had a list of them. When I was at my heaviest, I would do the tie the shoe once when I first got a new pair of sneakers, and then kind of just slip in, right? Because who has the time or breath to bend down and get sweaty tying a shoe? So now, being able to bend down and tie a shoe like a normal weight person, I constantly am retying my shoe because I'm not used to getting a normal tightness. I'll either tie it too tight or tie it too loose because for literally years from teenage into my 20s before surgery, I was doing the loose tie and my foot would just slide in because I wouldn't bend down and tie. So I literally lost the concept of how snug I like my shoe. Just insane. Like, and then you see me like, why do you keep retying your shoe 4 times? We've only been out of the house 5 minutes. Because I can't find the comfortable tie because I'm not used to tying my shoe anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
Basically.
It's crazy. That's a big one. I was always a big sweater. Like, I would sweat doing anything. And, you know, it's just fine. Oh, yeah, my body temperature's high. Or, oh, I'm just a sweaty person. Like, again, that's cute and possible for some people. But mine was clearly directed towards weight. Because now, like, I have to really crank up the exercise to sweat. I could walk miles just casually, not sweat at all. I used to have to wait after a nice hot shower to get dressed because I would – my body temperature would be risen so high, I'd be like clammy. Now it's the opposite. I get very cold and like I just don't sweat as much, which is nice for you know, just functionality. Like I don't have to revolve around sweat.
Now that you mention it, that was a big thing for me too. Like I would just be drenched and now I'm always freezing.
always freezing. It's, I mean, I talk about a 180. I was the one never wearing a jacket, open the windows, blast the air condition. I'm always sweaty. I mean, in the summertime, I'd get very nervous. I'd have to bring extra shirts because I knew I'd be sweating profusely if it was like a backyard thing and we weren't in the pool. And now it's the opposite, just completely. I don't care. I know I won't sweat through a shirt. I don't have to time stuff out like, oh, I'm taking a shower and I need a 20-minute buffer after. It's really just – it's a new life. It's really a new life.
Yeah, and you'd feel, like, more wet after the shower than when you were in the shower.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. And then it's like, do I take a new shower because I'm sweating? Like, you don't know what to do.
Well, for excuse me, I'm sorry. For us, we used to be comfortable in the same temperatures, and now Amanda's always cold, and I'm always burning up, and we just
really
cannot find that sweet spot anymore. And so one of us is always either wearing a heavy coat or jacket, or, you know, t-shirts and basketball shorts in the middle.
Yeah, it's definitely an adaptable, like, you got to adapt to it. And I try my best to, like, accommodate, but, like, in the car, I have the heat on. I want to be toasty. It's really, I surprise myself with that one.
Do you track your protein or anything like that?
So that would probably be the number one and main thing I do track is the protein. One, because my surgeon stressed it so much. Between the sleeve, you know, of the stomach and the intestinal part, which is really where the absorption or now lack thereof comes into play. I think for the, unlike the paperwork they gave of how much protein you need to consume, which with whatever surgery you get, for the DS, it's like 100 to 120 grams, which I think was the most out of all three or four surgeries because of that absorption component. So I definitely track that and try to get that 100 to even 150 grams now because I am working out pretty consistent. Calories, I'd like to start tracking more, but I'll be honest, I don't as much as I should. But I know, like, because of the protein and I'm eating somewhat clean with the fruit, a lot of fruits, a lot of vegetables, I feel comfortable not really counting every calorie, more so just the protein.
Right. What app do you use to track?
No app. I just kind of look at everything I'm eating and jot it down on my phone, like in the notes, just day to day. Like, I try to start my morning off with about 30 to 40, maybe even 50 grams of protein, like before I even leave the house and exercise or go to work, just to know, like, I got my day going with almost half of what I need, whether it be with the yogurt. The Fairlife milks are such a lifesaver. Cottage cheese, you know, any combination of those, you're almost at 50. So,
I was just sitting here looking at the Premier Protein we have here at the house, and 30 grams of protein. So that's five of those a day, and it's 160 calories. So that's 800 calories. And to get 150 grams of protein, I was just sitting here doing the same math going, my God, that is so much protein.
Yeah.
I remember when I first, like, paired, which not that it was any rocket science, but I paired, like, the low fat, good culture cottage cheese, like the baby blue container.
Ooh.
I think that's 90 calories for about 19 grams of protein.
Oh, wow.
And then the Fairlife chocolate milk. It's not a protein shake. It's just high in protein, but it's just Fairlife milk. I think that's 150 calories for 30 grams. So 49 grams of protein for approximately 240 calories. I mean, you do that in the morning and at night. That's about 500 calories, give or take, and almost 100 grams of protein. I'll take that every day of the week.
Yep. We've got the Fairlife chocolate. I'm sitting here because it's right under my Premier Protein.
So it's good.
30 grams of protein, but I'm too far away to see the calorie count. But
I'm pretty sure it's 150, But I mean, I've started using that as like a protein shake, essentially, just to, because it tastes delicious and it's just convenient. I keep a case in the car. It's great.
So what are your favorite protein snacks besides those?
Cottage cheese, yogurt, the Fairlife milk. I'll be honest, I like to blend up some of my own shakes just with like a whey protein, because I am like somewhat of a foodie, you could say. So I like to be creative and like try different stuff in the smoothies. And then eggs are my best friend. Eggs, a lot of eggs, nuts, and then, yeah, I mean, chicken and fish. I would say eggs are my number one source of protein, to be honest.
So would you consider yourself to be in maintenance now?
Yeah, you could say that. It's hard mentally to accept it almost, because for whether it be at my heaviest before surgery or for post-op, it's just about drive the weight down, lose the weight.
Yeah.
So now to be at – and this – I mean, it wouldn't even really be called a plateau. Like, this just might be my healthy body weight now. But for me, like, I plateaued here because I really didn't have a true plateau throughout the weight loss journey. I just kept consistently losing, which is an amazing thing. Like, I'm so happy for. But now I'm like, okay, I have to remind myself there's not much I could do here. I could put on a little weight due to muscle mass, or I could try to drive it down. But then it would be really low for my height and muscle to be any lower than like 185, I feel.
Yeah, I agree. Just based on the pictures that I saw of you on Instagram, I think you're at a good spot right there.
Yeah, and then, you know, the skin comes into play. Like, I think about that. I really don't have any intention right now of doing any of the, like, the skin removal, even though I could probably pursue it, but I've retracted pretty well. But then sometimes I think, I'm like, how much does this skin actually weigh? For on the scale, like, is that easy 10 pounds right there if I did do something about it? But it's not that much of an inconvenience to where I'm like really bothered by it right now.
So you said that you kind of bounce around those about 5 pounds or anything, so it doesn't sound like you've experienced like any real regain yet, though.
No, knock on wood. I mean, I think I've mentally prepared, because you hear so many stories and a lot of people say, like, listen, it's inevitable, it will come. So I think I only weigh myself once a week to not drive myself insane. I haven't missed a Tuesday since surgery. My surgery was on a Tuesday, June 8th. So every Tuesday I weigh myself. I've put on those few pounds of recent where I've teetered between like the 184 and 190. Mm-hmm. So that little 6 pound window, but nothing significant, nothing exceeding that like under 200 milestone I hit. So my goal right now, long-term, is to never exceed 200. I hope it's manageable and practical. I'm going to do everything I could to do that, because it was such an emotional day. You know, I got my wife here next to me. When I hit under 200, I mean, that was really just a crazy day for me.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I've never seen it. I literally, like I said, when we first started, I don't remember ever seeing my weight start with a 1. So I never want to see a 2 again.
So what does your wife think of your transformation?
You know, I tell her all the time, she gets all the credit in the world for this, because she was with me at my heaviest. We started our relationship. She's the most non-judgmental person, like really like the heart of gold. And I engaged the summer before surgery. And then I really hit, like, we're both big family oriented. And then it hit me like, when I say it's because of her, I got the surgery, she never once thought of it or said anything about weight. But what I mean by that is we want to have a family, and I don't want to embarrass her and leave her a widow, right? Like, I don't want to die. In my whole thing, I was fearful of death. I didn't want to die in my 30s or my 40s. And the world's crazy. That could still happen. Who knows? But but obviously minimizing that risk by losing a lot of weight, I would imagine. You know, so she was the motivation. I didn't want to have her see her parents and be like, Vin just had a quadruple bypass at 30 years old, right? I didn't want to leave her and a kid behind at 50 years old. I want to have a long, fruitful life. So if it wasn't for her, there's a good chance I would have just eaten myself to death. I really do think.
That's awesome.
And yeah.
What about the rest of your family? Are they supportive as well?
Super, super supportive. I think when I first proposed the idea of this and started, like, you know, poking around based on like some doctors just saying, you know, you might want to look into this, or I think it's a good route. I really couldn't have proceeded with the surgery if it wasn't for the support of like my entire family. We have a huge family, whether it be my sister, who's like my best friend, my father, who came to every appointment with me, whether it be for blood work, that chest x-ray, the post-ops, like he drove me into the city. He was there for every one of them. And then my mother, who is just the quintessential mother figure, blind loyalty, always there protecting her baby. And then even like my wife's family, they were part of the journey too, just constantly supporting, asking just how I'm doing, being there, like encouraging all along the way. So I don't think it would have been as successful pre leading up to the surgery or post-op without them.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's great. I needed it. And I told them that, like, almost like I'm going to ask for your opinion on this, but if you don't support it, don't even reply, because I just need your support on this. That's how I felt.
Yep.
And what kind of tips would you give anybody that's thinking about bariatric surgery?
I mean, I say it, and this is why I made like the surgery page or my public page, just to try to spread the word, because in my personal life, a few people, like close friends, actually went to my surgeon, and which I was like, wow, okay, this is in my immediate circle, and they got affected by my journey. So I said, let me make a public page and see how far we could take it, or just see who we could affect. And I've had a few inquiries of people like on the fence about it or just inquiring. And you always have to do what works for you and your physical body, of course. But if you're asking me, I obviously being biased, having, I would say, a lot of success with it. If you're on the fence about it or you're thinking about it, just do it. Because I don't know how to say it. Like, I had no success. I preference it with you have to do what works for you. But I didn't have any sustainable success losing weight on my own. I would lose 50, 60 pounds, maybe that much, but then put it right back on after the fad diet or the momentum died out. Yeah. So and I was childhood obesity. I didn't put weight on in high school or when I graduated. Like, I was obese from childhood. My parents were average. My sister's average. I wouldn't even say that there's obesity in the direct family. So I was unique. So I felt like at some point, like I needed to do the surgery. There's just me. But if you're on the fence about it, I would just dive in. I don't know. If you could do it on your own, God bless. But there's nothing wrong with getting the help. And like I said, I'm biased towards it, obviously, because I had the success with it. So I think everyone, if you're approaching that light, like that getting up there in age, maybe late 20s, early 30s, and it's going to start hindering your lifestyle, just do it. My mentality and was just being proactive versus reactive. So having no health issues, I said, let me take control of this now under my own terms, you know?
Yeah.
Instead of reacting. Like, I've never, before the surgery, I never stayed in the hospital, never went under anesthesia before. So I said, I'd rather do these things now under my own terms in a controlled environment versus, again, not to be dramatic, but always thinking the worst.
Urgency.
I don't want to have my chest cracked open for a quad bypass in my mid-30s, all because I was on the fence about getting a bariatric surgery, which has become so routine, you know?
Right. Well, and like you said in the beginning, to share the word about your type of surgery, which I'm not even going to try to pronounce, but also being a man in the bariatric community, like there's just not as many men sharing their story.
You know, I've learned that, or I've kind of seen that with the Instagram followings of all like the bariatric tags and just the accounts. I would say there are definitely more females than males that are maybe just open about it or spreading their journey. And I do think there's a component of maybe males being more comfortable or society being more acceptable of heavy set men, or just not affecting them as much to where they want to do something about it.
Yeah.
Which, you know, to each his own. You have to do what works for you. And if you're comfortable, God bless. But
as a guy, you know, a lot of times we let pride get in the way.
Yeah.
And whether we get the procedure or not, that's a point of pride. But then discussing it is a completely different one. And in my own personal experience, I've noticed that in general, as guys, we are very reluctant to discuss anything medical because it seems like a point of pride or you know, something you don't want to admit that you struggle with. And,
sure.
You know, I don't ever struggle with anything ever about anything. And we do all the time. And we're just not near as vocal about it because
there's so many layers to that. 100%, like just in general, just asking whatever it may be, obesity, addiction to food, mental stuff, like just having that humility and being able to ask for help. Yeah. Obviously, this is something that we all agree on and we're speaking about, but even, you know, I humbly admit so many things now about my pre-surgery life, rather. Just, I mean, I think even my wife, she didn't know, and I always talk about this one, she really thought I was afraid of roller coasters. Because in 6-7 years of knowing or being together, anytime that came up or we were on a vacation or whatever and it was a chance to go on a roller coaster, I would put on the whole, no, I'm a big baby. I'm a big, you know, I'm afraid of roller coasters. No, I just couldn't get the click on the belt to securely sit in them, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just, and I humble it, and I admit it now because so much has changed, but there's no point in, you know, those little things, like it's okay. You know, you have to share it and maybe make someone else feel comfortable about opening up about those life.
Right. I mean.
Hi, I'm so sorry about that.
I don't. It was you
calling me, and it made the phone all weird.
Well, I was just gonna say that, you know, as a guy, if you break your arm, you're not gonna, well, depending on who you are, most of us will say, ouch, that hurts, I need to go to a doctor, I admit I have a problem that I need some help with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I will admit there are probably some guys out there like, no, I'll just put it between 2 2x4s and duct tape it and leave it that way for 6 months.
Yeah.
In general, if you break a bone or if you have the flu and you're unable to even get up, you know, you'll go to a doctor for that.
Yeah.
So just look at other aspects of health, physical, mental, so on. It's the same thing.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's definitely a time and place like to power through or to, you know, really have that moment of pride if it means just like for something small. But when it comes to like your health and really something long term, I mean, you need that humility and to swallow that pride because it's your life. You don't want it to be too late. You don't want to look back and say, if only I would have asked for that help. If only I would have pursued something a little sooner, you know, it's not worth it. It's life is so precious. Time is so valuable, you know, and that's, like I said, that was my driving factor. Like time is valuable. I have to do this now. Like all the pre-op stuff for me went super quick because I did it on my terms. I felt,
yeah.
I didn't do it when I had hypertension, when I had diabetes, when I had something failing inside of me and it would have been taken a year to wean off of medicine. And that was the reason why I did it when I wanted, I felt.
There's a lot more pride in having the courage to do something, I feel.
Absolutely.
You know, and it takes courage to go out and have surgery of any type, but then, you know, especially to, it takes a lot of courage to humble yourself. And I think there's more pride in that than
power. I think it comes full circle. Not to say I'm not a humble person or not, I'm very prideful actually, but like for some, I think it comes full circle in the sense of this was my moment or my journey to show my humility that I do have it. You know, you don't have to, it's not always going to be the case for every aspect of life. Maybe you can't swallow your pride at work, maybe something more personal, whatever it may be. But this, I really do think it was like the perfect situation for me to show my humility, for me to be able to find it within me was for this. And it comes full circle.
Yep.
Ben, we've really appreciated talking to you and sharing your story today. Do you have any other like bits of wisdom you want to share before we let you go?
No, this was an amazing opportunity. I really appreciate the time and the platform to speak because it's such a big part of my life now. Like, you know, family and this journey, I think, is like one and two and wife, you know, it's all the top things. And, you know, to be able to share it and speak about it with people who could relate to it and have that passion is amazing. And just like you said, you know, for anyone thinking about a bariatric surgery or on the fence about it, or, you know, if you're in that place of wanting it, just do whatever you have to do to pull the trigger and do it, because it is life changing. If you listen to the doctors and do what you have to do post-op, it's literally a new lease on life. And I'm just very thankful and full of gratitude for it.
That's awesome. Well, like I said, we have really appreciated talking to you today and hope you have a rest of your Sunday.
You too. And I look forward to following you guys more and listening to further episodes. And, you know, who knows, hope to connect more soon.
We appreciate it. Have a good one.
All right. Talk soon. Bye.
Bye. Bye.